Summer Sundays are meant for freshly cut grass, ballpark dogs, and the best baseball talk you can find. So kick back with your bacon and eggs and pour yourself a mimosa while Phillies announcer Greg Murphy and Green Legion Radio's Chris Sack break down your fighting Phils and take you around the league right now on Baseball Brunch. Play ball!
Good morning, Philadelphia, and welcome to Bud Light Baseball Brunch live on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler in Philadelphia. Download that iHeartRadio app and listen to us anywhere, crystal clear, worldwide. What a beautiful day it is in South Philadelphia as we take you in to Phillies Angels this afternoon at 1:35 at Citizens Bank Park. It is going to be a phenomenal day down here weather-wise, so make sure you guys get down here. Check us out here at Xfinity Live. I'm Chris Sack of Green Legion Radio alongside my co-pilot right here at Xfinity Live. None other than Phillies broadcaster Greg Murphy.
It is a perfect afternoon to go streaking through South Philadelphia.
We're going streaking.
That's right. Three in a row for this team, and hopefully a series sweep of the Angels this afternoon. You might as well kick a team while they're down, and the Angels are down and almost out. So hopefully the Phillies can continue to do what they've been doing over the last couple of days. Obviously, we have a ton to talk about.
Really? I thought we had nothing to talk about this week.
So we're going to get to everything that has happened this week. But at the end of the day, some good baseball over the last couple of days. That's what's most important.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, and sitting on the other side of the table is our man, the man, the myth, the legend. I'm surprised he's out of bed joining us here today, Craig Quimby Chinoski.
Yeah,
Quimby, what's up, brother?
I went to bed pretty early last week.
What's early by your standards?
Well, 1:30? I started drinking at 2:30, so I was down by that time. By the way, thank you, Murph, for that streaking comment. Eases the blow on the 14-year-old comment I made just before the show started.
I don't even want to know what that was all about. You look good for having started drinking at 2:30 a.m. last night.
No, 2:30 p.m. yesterday.
Oh, okay.
You thought 2:30 a.m. and he went to bed at 9:30.
Then he got up at 10.
I have about a window of 4 or 5 hours where I can drink the way I drink, and then it's...
We all have gifts.
Someday this man's liver is going to be donated to science, and we're going to figure out how he can do what he does. But, you know, until then, he's going to have to get an insurance provider, and none other than from our friends at State Farm. Just as your local State Farm agent combines good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates, you can combine your home and auto, and guess what you'll get? That's right, good neighbor service with surprisingly great rates. In fact, State Farm agent Dave Bavuso is your go-to agent for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining home and auto today. State Farm agent Dave Bavuso will help you mix and match things perfectly. Call 856-740-5012 for your surprisingly great rates. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Again, that number is 856-740-5012. He's in Williamstown, New Jersey. You can go see him. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements. You know what? We're going to have to give away a couple tickets here because the Phillies are getting hot. We hope that they stay hot. Actually, if so, and this is going to be the case, we all know what's going to happen. The Phillies are going to get really good this week, and then we're going to do our show next week, and we're going to be positive, and then they're probably going to go back into
Let's not project.
This is how our show goes, Murph. We know a year and a half of doing the show now, we know how things work. We hope that we're wrong. But I'll tell you what, science tells us...
There's something completely different now with your shows.
And absolutely, but we're going...
It's the manager that's not there.
And we're going to dive into that right after we give away a couple tickets for Phillies Marlins Monday night, June 13th at 7:05. Hopefully we can actually break that curse as well. In order to win, you must answer in the comment section on the Green Legion YouTube channel, the Green Legion Facebook page. You can see it on Facebook Live or our Twitter handle, at Green Legion. I'm going to keep it simple this week. I know last week we did our favorite movie of the 2000s. Mm-hmm. It was 2000 to 2009. The Hangover won that. I actually got to hang out with the winners the other night at the game because I went on Friday night myself with my son.
That's great.
We're going to stick to the movie theme this week. Favorite summer blockbuster movie ever.
Yeah, that's a broad category.
We got a lot that we can go off of.
We sure do.
And Sam's going to have to do her research to make sure that it falls within the guidelines of being a summer blockbuster.
Hangover
was 2009?
2009.
Really?
Yes, we were surprised by that as well last week.
We had to fact check that before we could to give the winner the tickets because I thought it was a little bit later than that as well. But
And that actually goes completely against the grain for me, which I wasn't a part of, but I got to tell you, 2005 was completely indicative of the fact that the Academy is completely biased towards comedies. Wedding Crashers was by far and away the best movie that came out
great
that
movie.
Year.
Great movie.
By far and away, and they got snubbed.
Yeah, it's one of those you can't pass up when you're flipping through the channels. If it's on, you're
done,
watching.
Done.
Yep, absolutely.
I say it to this day. It's probably the hardest I ever laughed in a movie theater. Ever.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's good stuff.
But let's start right there. So,
all right. Do so you want me to give you one? I have okay. My top five.
I didn't make a top five this week, so I'm just going to go with my favorite because everybody knows what my favorite is.
Yes, I already know what you're going
to
say.
Back to the Future. There you go. Take it off the board. No one can take it and then automatically win. Back to the Future.
I feel like you have to open those horizons a little bit more.
It's a man who still hasn't seen Goodfellas.
I know.
And
guess what? Godfather.
I love, and I told this to Murph last week, I love being a part of trolling.
Hold the phone. I cannot stand The Godfather.
Oh, come on.
Ooh.
All right. Let's not get started on that.
But at least you saw it,
we'll be hijacked.
At least you saw it, though, right, Murph?
Yeah, at least you saw it. I'll give you that. All right. So I do have my top five. I'll give you one, and it's an easy one because it's been in the news, obviously, over the past couple of weeks. We just had Miles Teller here at the ballpark. Top Gun. Top Gun was a summer blockbuster. I don't know the year. If I had to guess, I would say, what, like 88? 87, 88, something like that.
I think 86.
Oh, 86. That makes sense. I knew I was in high school when it came out. So.
How awesome did you feel being in that? I saw all the pictures of you in the booth.
With Miles.
With Miles.
Miles,
how
you
cool
know,
is that?
I've gotten a chance to interview Miles like four or five times at this point. He is one of the most down-to-earth, just regular guys that you're going to meet. I mean, he's a Philly guy. It's exactly what he is. And I think you can make an argument that at the this moment right now that we're in, he's a top 10 movie star on the planet at this point. With the Top Gun movie coming out, starring next to Tom Cruise, he's as big as it gets. And you wouldn't know it. And it was great to talk to him. He's a huge Phillies fan. He loves to talk baseball. Loves to talk baseball. And you sit there.
I like the T-shirt he was wearing.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of them. He's got a 93 T-shirt that he rocks from time to time as well. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. But Top Gun, certainly a summer blockbuster, so I put that on my top five.
All right, Q.
I was not prepared for this.
You were not prepared.
I gotta look through and see summer blockbuster.
We'll come back to you.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
we can come back to you. Jansen has one real fast.
Next question.
I'm not prepared either, but Top Gun Maverick actually might be number one. I legitimately think it's one of the greatest summer blockbuster action movies ever made.
It's that good.
It's really good.
It's the new toy. You're going to get tired of it just like Girlfriend later
it
on.
Is, it's so much better. It felt like the end of an era of action movies. You know, it was kind of a send-off for it. It was amazing.
When I was 12 years old and Godzilla came out, I thought the same thing. Greatest movie of all time.
Godzilla, really?
Well, I mean, it was 98. You know, I was 12 years old, but Back to the Future is classic. You knock it off. All right, so let's move on.
Yes,
Raiders,
let's talk
Raiders. Raiders has to be up there for me.
Raiders?
Yeah.
Raiders
a good one.
Okay. Yeah, Indiana Jones, you got to love it. All right, so like I said, we don't really have much to talk about on today's show, so we might as well just wrap it up and go home right now. No, we all know what the big news of the week was for the Phillies. I was off by a day. I said all along that it was going to happen probably after the Gabe Kapler Giants series. I thought it was going to happen on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, it happened on Friday morning. Murph, you have all the details, if not most of the details.
I don't know about all the details.
On how this transpired, but yeah. Why don't you elaborate and dive into it for us?
Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously Dave Dombrowski had been thinking about making a change for a little while.
I think we all were.
Yeah, well, it's not something that they do, you know, fly by the seat of their pants kind of decision.
Right.
And, you know, he consulted with some folks in the front office that he trusts, and then he talked to John Middleton, and the decision was made probably on the off day Thursday, but they didn't make the move until Friday to relieve Joe of his duties. Look, for me, it's never really about the manager. It's never really the manager's fault. You know, he's not out there on the field walking two out of the first three. He sees it, you know, coming out of the bullpen. He's not popping up with the bases loaded. Ultimately, it's on the players. However, sometimes you need to shake things up. Sometimes you need to make a move. And I've talked to 8-9 guys over the last two or three days in that clubhouse. And each one of them, to a man, said, look, we know this is on us. We cost a man his job because we haven't played to our abilities. And the players understand that. It's one thing to understand it. It's another thing to look in the mirror and try to figure out how to change it. And I really think that's where they're at this point. So the players understand they need to be better. And Rob Thompson now is the new voice, and he's going to try and help them do that.
All right. So, since I can give a different response than you, I heard there's a ton of egos in that clubhouse.
I wouldn't say that.
And Girardi was one of them. So, at some point in time, you know, somebody was going to have to fall on that grenade, and it was him.
You know, I don't buy that. I really don't. I think
I could see that. I could see that in his post game.
I think sometimes as fans, we look at things differently than professional athletes and managers and coaches do. That's not a thought process inside that clubhouse. Egos and this guy getting more. It's not. I'm telling you. I've been around sports long enough, and I've been around these guys long enough to know that there might have been a communication issue from time to time. I mean, we've heard that over the last couple of days, that maybe Joe didn't communicate or connect with the guys the way that they were hoping he would, and that's perhaps part of the reason that a change was made. But I don't think it has anything to do with ego or, you know, who's getting what in terms of attention or whatever.
Is it all right that I hijack your show?
Yeah, for a few minutes.
Okay, good. So, all right, let's, because I've talked to Chris about this a number of times, and I'm going to hold strong to it in a big way. The reason why I think there's a lot of egos in that clubhouse is because, this is going to be a long drawn out, but I'll make it quick. When we had our glory years with the Phillies, let's say 2005, 6 on through 2010, 11. You had a bunch of guys that came up together through the farm system. You had Myers, Hamels, yep. Howard, Utley, Rollins, Chooch, all these guys coming up through the farm system. And, you know, they bonded during that time together. They learned to play for each other when there was not dollars on the table, or at least ones that would amount to anything more than you would need a foster home to live in for the summer down in Clearwater.
They failed together. They succeeded together.
Exactly.
They learned how to play for each other. Yeah.
And that's why I believe these guys haven't learned to play for each other, because they're all guys coming in, you know, within the last couple of years, all of them with massive contracts. And you wonder, is the Phillies farm system part of the reason that this team doesn't have success?
Well,
or consistent success?
Yeah.
Because all they've been doing is throwing darts and trying to figure out. You got five guys in this lineup that could hit dingers, and Girardi couldn't figure out how to line them up.
Well, I will disagree with that. I don't know that he couldn't figure out how to line them up. What didn't happen was success out of the gate for whatever reason. I think that's probably more because guys are chasing balls out of the strike zone rather than what Joe Girardi was putting them on the lineup card. I don't think writing a name on the lineup card gets a guy to hit a home run. A guy has to get in the box, see a pitch that he can hit, and drive it. I mean, that's why, to me, it comes down to the players. And ultimately, the players will tell you that. And just to circle back to your other point, that narrative about the 2008 team and coming up together, absolutely. However, that narrative gets written in 2009, in 2010, and 2011. We don't know that in 2006 and 2007. So if this team goes on a run, and maybe not this year, but if they win next year,
fair.
Then we're changing enough. What we're saying. Hey, these guys came together as free agents. 1993.
I think it's a longer process, right. However, for guys like this, as opposed to the guys that slummed it through Triple A.
What about 1993, where they pulled guys from all over the place and came within two games of winning a World Series? We celebrate the fact that...
I'm sorry, I drank too much to remember 93.
Well,
What year didn't you drink too much to remember?
Look it up, and because that's my point, is it doesn't matter how a team gets put together. Is it better for an organization to have guys come through at homegrown? Absolutely. It's better financially. It's better for a long-term stability. But you can win the other way, too, and it happens all the time. So this idea that this team can't win...
The Yankees have done it. The Dodgers have done it.
Yeah, but they might win, and the narrative gets written after the fact. And that's my only point.
To me, looking at Joe Girardi, he looked like a beaten man. The way that he was talking, the way that he looked at press conferences, it just, like, I think when he signed up for this job a few years ago and he took the job, I think he had every inkling and every part of him wanted to succeed here. He wanted to do right by the city. But I'll tell you what, man, I think over the last couple years, the pandemic, the 60-game shortened season, that bullpen that cost them the playoffs with eight teams.
I agree with the last part. That bullpen. That'll beat you up as a manager.
And then the following year, they blew the most saves in the history of Major League Baseball with that bullpen. And you know, the protocols that were taking place over the first half of the season. It was a lot that was going on. And then his option doesn't get picked up. He's a lame duck manager. Everybody knows. We've talked about this on the show the last few weeks. Everybody knew that if it continued to spiral the way that it did, the only sensible change that was there to be made was him.
And that's always the case. Changing a manager is pretty much the only thing you can do midseason to try and shake
the hitting. The one year they did the hitting coach with Bill Thompson,
but seriously,
but you're not going to do anything with Kevin Long. He just got here. Right. Caleb Cotham, that does nothing. You know, so, he was the only guy that you could honestly look at and sit there and go, this is the change that we can make.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying again, you know, we see Joe Girardi every day. We saw Joe Girardi every day. The man got to work at 10 in the morning and put in hours and prep time, and he did everything you want your manager to do. It just didn't work.
Right.
I think it's unfair to a guy like Joe Girardi to say it looks like he didn't have passion or energy or whatever word you want to use.
Towards the end.
Do you think it had something to do with the fact that he didn't have the talent he had in New York?
No, I think it has to do with the fact that they're not winning. And when you're not winning and you're not scoring runs, and he said this.
So why are we not winning?
Well, therein lies the question. And that circles us back to the very beginning. For me, the team is not winning consistently because the players are not playing consistently. You need your... There are superstars on this team. There are really good players, all-stars on this team, that are not playing to that level yet. And until they do, we cannot expect them to be consistently winning.
Isn't that part of the manager's responsibility to get them to that point?
Everything is part of the manager's responsibility, but he can only do so much, you know? JT Realmuto had 3 doubles last night. He's had 10 hits in his last 11 at-bats. But for a 4-week period, he couldn't do anything at the plate.
Yeah.
They need him. You know, he slipped down to the... He was batting eighth at one point.
I think it has to do with his walk-up song.
That's a whole other...
That Applebee's song's just got to go. You know? But listen, that takes us away from Joe Girardi, and that moves us on to the new era of Phillies baseball through the remainder of the 2022 season. Rob Thomson, he is...
It's one of your favorite picks for manager.
Well, no, my guy, and I said this all along, and Mike knows, you know, sitting right here in front of us, Larry Bowa was a guy that I was pining for. I was honestly thinking that was a big case because, you know, the guy's been there. He has done that. He's managed in a couple different spots.
And he's pissed off everybody he's ever managed.
Yeah, but see, I like that.
Yeah, you know, look.
But that's not going to get what you need out of players this generation.
For 4 months?
I agree with
Quimby
on that.
No. For 4 months, 100%. It could be the case.
No. The egos, however they may be fragile, all right, are not. Bowa's not going to get. Bowa's old school. There's not enough old school mentality players on this team.
Bowa
right
walks
now
into that clubhouse with Bryce Harper's respect from day one. And if you have his respect from day one, everything changes. That's the only reason why I was sitting there.
So Bryce Harper needs to accept the manager.
Yeah, see, that's a.
In order to be a voice of leadership in that clubhouse? No.
Bryce Harper, this is his fourth season here. This is his third different manager right now.
All right, but Bryce Harper.
It's not on Bryce.
Bryce Harper also. Rob Thomson walks into that clubhouse and instantly has Bryce Harper's respect as well. So they're on level. Look, Larry Bowa is one of my favorite people and might be the best baseball man I know, you know, just in terms of
plus he's 76 years old,
right?
I was thinking Jack McKeon.
He's fiery. He's
well at 76. We don't need that that relativity to
look. Bowa is still a big part of this organization, and his voice is a big part of this organization. Certainly, he was a guy that they probably considered, but I think ultimately, Rob Thomson is a outstanding baseball guy. Just look at his resume And they believe that he can connect with this clubhouse.
It's worked for the last 2 days.
Yeah. I mean, I love what he's done with the club so far, right? They're going to fall on hard times again. They're going to go through some losses. But Rob is a different personality than Joe. And he understands that he needs to be. And that's what he's going to bring to this clubhouse. We'll see. Will it work? The Phillies have... Larry Anderson said this on the air last night. The Phillies have changed managers 24 times mid-season in their history.
Wow.
And only one of those teams has made the postseason, 1983. So, obviously, it doesn't always work, right?
Right.
But they did it early this year, and maybe it does work this. They've got some work to do. I mean, they're in a hole, and they've got to climb out of it.
Giggity.
Yeah, but new voice is what it is, and you know, like you said, so far so good, so we'll take it.
The Phillies cleaned house with Joe Girardi, but that doesn't mean that you can't get a hold of our friends at Premier Window to clean your windows. Premier Window Cleaning is the leading window cleaning company in Philadelphia and the surrounding areas. Over 30 years' experience, they offer commercial and residential window cleaning, pressure washing, parking garage cleaning, graffiti removal, post-construction cleaning. Every employee is trained, certified, and goes through an extensive background check at Premier Window Cleaning. Your satisfaction level needs to be 100%, as no job is complete until you're happy with clients like Lincoln Financial Field, Comcast, Shop Roberts, and University of Pennsylvania. You cannot go wrong. For more information and a full list of services, give them a call at 267-534-5198. That's 267-534-5198. Or head to their website, www.wehatedirtywindows.com. That's www.wehatedirtywindows.com. In our next segment, we're going to continue the conversation here just a little bit more. And then I want to play a what-if game. I've got four what-ifs. And it's broad. It's Major League Baseball. It's Phillies. Everything related. Right here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. This is Bud Light Baseball Brunch, and we'll be right back right after this.
Welcome back for our second segment here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch, live at Xfinity Live.
I got to go run through the wall. I'll be right back.
Not a problem. It is a beautiful day down here in South Philadelphia. Make sure you come on down and check out three, if not the best players in Major League Baseball here at Citizens Bank Park.
Pretty
this
cool,
weekend.
Right?
I mean, Bryce Harper's been putting on a show. I mean,
I thought you were about to say three of the best broadcasters in radio.
Well, you know.
Well, I mean, listen, I try to keep myself contained here. And we have one of the best producers down here as well, but he needs a haircut. I'm telling his parents right there over at the bar, for the love of God, break out the clippers.
We love Johnny, but, you know, Mom, come on. We're going to snip.
Zach, you're just jealous.
No, I can still grow hair. It's just not exactly in the front of my head anymore. that's why I wear a hat. Also, guys, make sure you go to our social media platforms and get in on trying to get two tickets for the Phillies-Marlins game on Monday, June 13th at 7:05. Best or your favorite blockbuster summer movie. So go to our social media platforms and check that out. But, you know, speaking of checking out, Green Legion this year, we have a ton of trips that you guys can sign up for this season, this upcoming season for the Eagles. Quimby is here to tell you just a little bit about Arizona.
Yeah, well, we don't release our tailgate packages or our ticket and our game ticket and tailgate packages till a few weeks into it. We always want to promote our trips before anything else, but we did release all of our game day packages, we call them, on Friday. And on Saturday, we finalized our menu for the Arizona tailgate. And I just kind of wanted to let you guys know what's going on there, because I don't know if we can get any better.
You going to make me hungry?
I'm already starving. Look at me. I wake up and fall asleep hungry. So our tailgate's going to be from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. The game's 2:25. Gives us plenty of time to get in. It's at SALT. It's in the Westgate Entertainment Complex right next to the stadium. We're considering a brunch tailgate because we have bacon and eggs from 9 to 11. It's not going to be all the entire tailgate, but 9 to 11, bacon and eggs. And then we get into what's available the entire tailgate from 9 to 1. Tacos, pork, chicken, shrimp, and veggie tacos.
Mm.
Wings. Yes, wings. A tailgate that actually includes wings. Buffalo barbecue, mango habanero, and 24 carrot sauces. Barbecue pulled pork, smoked turkey, chicken taquitos, beef taquitos, chips and salsa, guacamole, Spanish rice, cilantro rice, refried beans, black beans, french fries, mac and cheese, crushed red potatoes, barbecue beans, side salad, and of course, our sponsor, Bud Light, Bud Light Seltzer, Michelob Ultra, House Margaritas,
ooh,
Well Drinks, and Mimosas, everybody. That is it's one of the best menus we've ever been able to offer.
And then forklift service into the stadium for anyone that needs it. Because, my Lord, roll me out of there.
I think you should just listen what you aren't going to have.
You know, I say this all the time, but you know, if you haven't traveled with Green Legion yet, you got to do it. I did it as a fan a decade ago a couple of times, and it is so much fun. Been connected with Quimby ever since. And if you haven't done it, if you're an Eagles fan, if you're a sports fan of Philadelphia, get your group together and go, because you will not regret it. First class all the way.
Thank you, sir.
Quimby had me at tacos.
Yeah.
didn't have to go any further?
Tacos. And then I heard margaritas, so I was locked in. So.
Yeah, let's rock and roll with that. All right, cool. Thanks, Quimby, for that. So let's go back here real quick to the Phillies before we dive into some hypotheticals, because there's been things that have popped up, just some fun stuff over the last week in Major League Baseball that I want to pick your brain on, Murph. Five games under 500 now, the Phillies are. I put on the spreadsheet, hopefully 10 games, but I saw what happened in L.A. last night. The Mets wound up coming back.
Yeah, the Mets came back.
Yeah, Walker Buehler's been struggling the last couple weeks, man. Come on, you're costing me money on that bet that I had for you to win the Cy Young this year. But nonetheless, let's stick away from that one. 11 games behind the Mets, 4.5 behind the Giants for the third wild card spot. We have the Braves and the Diamondbacks are between us and them. And then, you know who's tied with us? Do you know what team is tied with us right now in the wild card race?
Is it the Pirates?
The Pirates.
Yeah, I did read that somewhere.
You know, they've been red hot since you picked them 2 weeks ago on this very show.
That's right.
To beat the Cardinals.
I sparked them.
You did. They were losing 15-0 in that game.
Yeah.
But 4 months to go in this season. No Gene Segura for three of them.
Tough love.
Kids playing at second, shortstop, center field. Real quick, Maton, I didn't see an update on him yesterday. What a play Friday night.
What a play.
Superman dive.
One of the best defensive plays you're going to see at second base. Landed on the shoulder. They called it a strain. The good news is, you know, we came into the ballpark yesterday hoping he was not going to the IL, and he did not. So he was on the card last night. Which leads you to believe that it is a day-to-day situation. I have not seen the lineup yet today. I'm not sure if he's in there or not, but I don't think it's a long-term thing. So certainly good news, because he has provided a little bit of energy, as has Bryson Stott. Are we getting breaking news?
We are getting breaking news right here, courtesy of Murph's Fan Club. The Phillies have reinstated infielder Didi Gregorius from the 10-day IL and placed infielder Nick Maton on the 10-day IL with a right shoulder sprain. Retro to June 4th.
All right, so there you have it.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Didi. I knew Didi was coming back today. I didn't know what the corresponding move would be. So Didi's back.
And so that moves Stott over to second.
Yeah, Stott will play
second. For the foreseeable future.
Or Camargo, I guess, who has been swinging the bat pretty well. But, we'll see. It's a shame because, like I said, Nick Maton was kind of providing a little bit of that youthful energy.
Yes.
But the good news is he's still going to be here. He's on the IL, so he's going to be in that clubhouse. He's going to be in that dugout, and he can still do it from there.
Okay. So getting back to my original point, both of us had selected the Phillies to make the playoffs this year based on what we've seen through the first 2 months of the season, and now that Joe Girardi is no longer the manager and now we have an interim manager at the helm in Rob Thomson. Is that where we're still going with this?
I don't. Yes.
Inevitably, is the streak going to end in 2022?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we still have 4 months of a season left.
Correct.
I mean, we're one third of the way through this thing. There's a
May
lot of.
May I ask what dispensary you are both shopping at?
The dispensary. Look. He just said it. Sack just said it. You know, the Dodgers have gone through a little bit of a slide. Every team is going to go.
No, they are. No, it's not that. And sorry, I'm hijacking the show again.
I'm
talking about your division record. It absolutely blows. We walk out of the first... the first seven games, all right? First seven games of the division are four against the Mets and three against the... Or three and four, whatever it was. And we walk out of there 2-5.
Right.
And I said, right from Jump Street, that's going to be a problem. No. You never talk about it until 40 games into the season. Well, 40 games into the season, you're still under 500.
How many games have the Mets played against the Nationals?
More than us.
Way more than us. How many have they played against the Marlins? And I know the
Phillies. What's our division record right now?
Not good. It's not balanced. But
it
it's
blows.
Also not balanced right now. Let them play the bad teams in the division and then take a look.
Oh,
I'm just saying, you got to take a step back.
The Marlins are a bad team in this division now.
And they don't play well against
them. We are still playing under 500 against them.
Until that changes, right? That's the point. For me, it's impossible to try and predict
which dispensary are you guys shopping at?
6-14 in division.
I get it delivered. It's so much easier.
6-14 in division. The Mets are 19-7.
Right. Again, I'm not saying the Mets are playing terrific baseball.
Do you know how difficult that's going to be to come back from?
Yeah. You don't have to win the division to get in the postseason.
I get it, but And you're not. You're not going to win the division.
Probably not.
The Mets are already way ahead.
Well, again,
this isn't the Oakland A's.
Seven and a half with seven to go, though. I know it's a different team.
However, do I think they're going to win the division at this point? If you ask me right now, no, I don't.
He didn't think that before the season. Right. He said the Mets before the season.
I picked the Mets to win the division, but I do think the Phillies make the postseason. And I'm sticking with it.
And he still goes to sleep every night crying to himself.
Well, I think we've also seen examples within the division, like the Nationals a few years ago.
And the Braves. And the Nationals Braves
bullpen,
last year.
Worst bullpen in baseball before the All-Star break. Yeah, after but
we,
that, they
but
were
we,
great.
We talked about this, though, in one of the last two shows, Murph and I. Those teams, those Braves teams, those National teams, had a track record of knowing how to get to the playoffs. The Nationals made the playoffs, what, five times from 2012 until they won the World Series in 2019?
Again.
The Braves won a division 4 years in a row before they came back.
That goes back to Quimby's argument from the first segment. This team hasn't made the playoffs right up until they do, and then everything just changes at that point. We put too much importance on that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter to these guys in the clubhouse. They don't care. It's not something they think about.
Well, it didn't seem like they cared for the first 44 games of the season either.
Stop putting words in my
mouth. 54. Sorry, yeah. 54.
You know, there was a Quimby down in Atlanta last year on June the 5th, sitting in a bar talking to two clowns on the radio, going, "This team is the worst team I've ever seen."
First of all, there is no other Quimby anywhere. Second of all,
not two clowns, one clown and a professional.
in Atlanta, he's Wimby. But Wimby was talking to these two guys on the radio.
And I want a hamburger, damn it.
And he said, "This Braves team is terrible and they're not going anywhere." And they ended up winning the World Series. I'm not predicting that for the Phillies. I'm telling you, anything can happen, and it's impossible.
You know what? If
to
you
want to
change,
today.
if you're going to change that moniker, okay? Honestly, you're gonna have to come out of the gate firing, because right now, nobody fears this team.
Again, I don't even know what that means.
No, hold on a second. It does. It's every part of sports.
No,
the more you win, the more you're feared. Am I right? Please,
no.
Somebody, really?
I disagree.
Really?
You know what? You know what Murph fears? My games that we get to play every week. That's what Murph really fears.
That is an accurate
statement. What does Sack have up his sleeve? Because I never put anything on the run sheet with our second segment. So, listen, let's have a little bit of fun.
All right, let's
go. We got 5 minutes left in this segment, so let's try and get through this quickly. All right, so this first one is brought to you by Quimby's favorite player, Mike Trout. What if a 10-game losing streak, falling to .500, and being in a career worst 0-for-23 skid wasn't the worst part of Mike Trout's week? Being called the worst fantasy football commissioner by Tommy Pham after the Pham Jock Peterson situation.
What a weird story, right? I mean, we talked about this last week, right? About the slap and all that.
He's not even sure if he's going to be the commissioner next year.
Breaking news, by the way.
Go ahead.
Yes. Nick Castellanos is batting .199 since purchasing Ben Simmons' home.
I saw that, yeah.
Oh, man. You know what? We are figuring it all out today. You know, I think we've gotten to the root of
it's not even
real estate.
Listen, Tommy Pham lost $111,000 for smacking a dude. Just smacking him. He even make it worth it. At least get your money's worth.
Yeah, I mean,
do more than a bitch slap.
Did Will Smith get fined for slapping Chris?
No, he got an Oscar.
Yeah, that just doesn't seem right. Mike Trout's not had a great week. You know, I can't possibly believe that it's weighing on his mind, but it's interesting.
Maybe
that
that's why he didn't sign with us, knowing full well that he wasn't going to be able to perform at home.
He didn't sign with the Phillies because Richard, the Angels swooped in and gave him money before the Phillies even had the possibility of signing him.
I'm sorry. I'm still aggravated and annoyed by that.
You know what's great is the fact that, you know, I was here on Friday night with my oldest son, and everybody – like, you see Phillies, people are wearing Philly shirts with Mike Trout jerseys on, and they're like, "Oh, are you family? Oh, well, let me tell you something. I'm from Millville, New Jersey." Like, he doesn't know you. He doesn't. Odds are he doesn't
you
know
don't, you.
You
don't have to.
He didn't like you then. He doesn't
fan.
Like you now.
All right. This one's a good one.
Right.
I like this one a lot. What if the Mets weren't a bunch of whiners and complainers filing their second complaint with Major League Baseball, second one that we know of at least, after saying that their clubhouse at Dodger Stadium smelled of rat urine?
Yeah. again, I missed the L.A. trip. I was a little under the weather, so I didn't travel to L.A. this year with the team.
We didn't hear complaints of that, though.
But I didn't hear anyone say that from our perspective. Hey, Dodger Stadium's an old ballpark. I'm sure they have a rat or two down there.
They have great fans out there, too.
There's 45, 50,
a beautiful place.
There's 45 to 50,000 rats that go there every game.
Wow. I have is...
We actually saw a couple of them here a couple weeks ago.
All I want to say on Dodger Stadium is Matt Stairs.
Yes. No doubt about it.
Beautiful place. All right.
All right. So we'll get off rat news. Now, this is something that I thought about the other night. You know, I'm sitting up there. I'm up in the 400 level. And you got a perfect view of in the background of the skyline. And I'm sitting there thinking, because my son, he's to the point now where he likes to ask questions. And he's like, Daddy, did you grow up here? Is this the stadium? And I pointed across the way. I was like, Veterans Stadium is where I grew up as a kid.
Right.
But I couldn't help but think to myself how life would have been maybe a little bit different if this wasn't where they settled on putting the ballpark at. You know, what if Citizens Bank Park was in one of those other three locations downtown?
Yeah.
How different that would be.
Like, well,
instead of driving to the ballpark, you would have to, you know, it would be...
First of all, we need to talk about you ending sentences with a preposition, but...
this guy...
Dangling participle over here.
You know it's a much more fun show when I'm around.
Yeah, when you say bitch and blows on my show, you know.
giggity. Now that's twice. You know, that is an interesting thought. It would be wildly different, right? I mean, the sports complex here in Philadelphia, again, you and I both grew up here. We all grew up here. And so this is what we know. It's what we love. It's convenient. It's growing. All of that.
Yes.
Could you imagine the traffic
that
would have been encouraged?
Well,
now, granted, it would have smelled like the best Chinese food on the planet.
Well, that's the reason why. They settled in Chinatown, and they wound up going back against the city and said that it's going to wind up tearing apart Chinatown if the Phillies are there.
It probably would have had a negative effect on parts of Center City, you know, different neighborhoods and stuff. It sure would have been. It would have been neat, kind of cool if we could, like, you know, just, like, jet in and see what it was like and then get back out kind of thing. But, I think ultimately what they've done here, 2004, this ballpark still resonates with folks from all over the country. I hear it, you know, fans coming in from different places saying just how beautiful this place is. And it works. It works. I think it's perfect for Philadelphia and the way it is.
I'm right there with you. I love having everything right here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like you couldn't help but think about how cool. Remember those images that they had in 2001 where it was like you had Liberty
so cool.
One right there.
Absolutely.
Outside. And instead, we're looking at the Holiday Inn for 15
well,
years.
Well, now we're not.
You know?
And there you go. That's called progress, right? It's progress. But, I agree with you. Kind of cool to think about. There's a lot of downtown ballparks across baseball. They're awesome. You know, we get a chance to go, and you're right there in the heart of the city. But like I said, I think this works for Philadelphia for sure.
All right. So, you know, what's a really cool spot also to go to, it's a Ludlum Bar and Grill down in Seattle City at 4000 Landis Avenue. Yes, the old La Costa. With the complete renovation finished, you will now see a brand new look, feel, and vibe set amongst a casually sophisticated bar, a cozy a la carte dining room, and the only mellow lounge in Townsend Inlet. The menu is seasonal, offering the freshest local seafood cooked simple to ensure that flavor that already exists stays that way. The hotel is open year-round, and all guests enjoy free Wi-Fi, one free parking spot per room, and complimentary beach tags for all registered adults. Walking distance to everything. Check out ludlamhotel.com. That's Ludlam, Ludlam, hotel.com, or call them at 609-263-7829. That's 609-263-7829. For all your reservation, dining, or entertainment questions, the Ludlam Hotel, Ludlam Bar and Grill, your new oasis in Seattle City. In our last segment, we're going to get down to brass tacks. We're going to see how Murph did on our picks last week. And we're going to award our tickets for the Phillies-Marlins game on Monday, June 13th for your favorite blockbuster summer movie of all time right here on Bud Light Baseball Brunch on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll be right back right after these messages. Welcome back for our last segment here on this beautiful Sunday morning down here in the sports complex. South Philadelphia, 102.5 Fox Sports, The Gambler, Bud Light, Baseball Brunch. Let's award these tickets away, Murph.
All right.
Let's go ahead. Let's get rid of these here. So, your favorite blockbuster summer movie.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a nice list. Actually, probably one of the last shows that you missed with me was probably our best topic. Worst ways to propose to your girl. I'm going to have to go back through that list with you sometimes so we can get a good laugh.
I would like to hear that. Yeah. Unfortunately, I was not able to listen to the show when I missed it, and so I didn't hear that. I'd like to hear that.
It was a good one. So, all right, so let's go ahead. We got seven contestants here.
Okay.
E.T., June of 82. Mm-hmm. Armageddon, June 98. Jaws, June 75. The Lion King, June 94. Die Hard, July 88.
Ooh, Die Hard.
Independence Day.
A Christmas movie released during the summer.
Oh, gosh. Independence Day, July 96. And Grease, June 78.
Well, I'll tell you this. They hit with the three of those are on my list.
Really?
And I missed Die
Hard. So they got Grease.
Grease is on my list. Grease is
on. Are you serious?
Well, are you talking about?
You are so weird.
No. This is about summer blockbuster. Grease still resonates to this day. You can't argue that Grease has made an impact.
Yeah, and it's one of the worst movies of all time to watch.
Yeah, man, well, he's a huge fan of Danny Zuko.
Hey,
there are no words, Jim.
Don't mess with Danny Zuko.
I can't believe you guys are missing one of them.
Well, wait. So
well,
Die
you can
Hard.
Go ahead and say.
I missed Die Hard. That's a good one. I did not have that on my list. It should be on my list. But also E.T. and Jaws are on my list. So they hit three. Go ahead.
Maybe you did mention this and I wasn't paying attention because, again, I'm drinking. Jurassic Park.
Yeah, yes. Huge. I'm not a huge action movie guy. The original Jurassic Park was excellent. The rest of them, I can do without.
The moment where he turns her head in the Jeep is probably the most iconic movie moment of all time. And this is when...
to the hairdresser scene in Grease. I mean, that was pretty awesome.
I've got nothing.
Speaking of hairdresser, John Jansen, get a haircut. All right, so which one do you want to go with here?
I think I will go with E.T. I think out of those movies, the ones that were mentioned, I would pick E.T. again.
Not Spielberg's movie, by the way.
But a movie that continues to resonate today and carry on. So I'll go E.T.
I agree with you last week, but this week I'm going to be a contrarian.
Okay.
Independence Day, which means you're going to have to pick.
See?
Are we going Independence Day?
Go.
I've never even seen that.
Question Independence
You've never
Day.
Seen
I've never seen Independence Day.
All right, first of all, both of you, weird.
That's why you hired us. Maybe I should.
We go together like lamb and tuna fish.
We go together.
Would you prefer that I go spaghetti and meatballs?
Shamalama-lama.
All right, Sam's going to get me whoever was the one, the name.
All right, Independence Day. Hey, I tried, E.T. I tried.
It's all good. So Sam's going to get me that. Just text it over to me, Sam, and I'll announce the winner here on air on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Let's get to our picks. All right? Picks for Sunday's Major League Baseball action, three betting lines.
We're
on
looking
Sundays.
Forward. Yeah. Looking forward.
We
don't need to look back. Looking forward.
No, we're going
to
look back. Murph went 0-3.
Yeah,
obviously
did.
0 points last week. Overall now, record of 6-9 with 7 points for the season.
Not good.
Sack hits a 2-1 week with a 3-point weekend as well last Saturday. I'm not one to brush off my shoulders.
So you hit on your underdog, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I forget which one. I think it was my over-under I didn't hit last week. That gets me to 12-9, but we don't count that up to 16 points. So I'm actually with Murph. I'm 8-7 with 11 points on the season. So, Murph, give me your first one. You said you've done extensive research and work today?
Yeah, I put like 7.5 minutes into this for sure. So
it's six
confident.
And a half more than a minute with Murph.
Well, yeah, that's six T-shirts right there. All right, so my first pick is Red Sox versus A's. Oakland is the favorite in this game at -120. What? Right?
Right.
I mean, that's strange. So I'm taking the Red Sox. I don't even care who's pitching. I don't care about any of it. I'm taking the Red Sox to beat the A's as an underdog in this game. So that's my first pick.
You know what's funny? I had shotgun picks today because we were trying to get on Wi-Fi. So I had 5 minutes to do these picks. That's my pick, too. That's my first one.
Wow.
That's my dog.
All right.
Yeah, +102. They're looking for four in a row today. And listen, the guy that's pitching for the Red Sox today is the best nickname in Major League Baseball. I don't know if I can say it. Slash, can I say it?
Why are you asking?
If you're asking that question, I wouldn't say it.
Jansen, am I allowed to say it?
The pitcher for the Red Sox? No, you're not allowed to say that.
Rich Hill?
Yeah, you're not allowed to say that.
Okay, all right. I'm just making sure.
No. So, I love how Murph is very aware.
As long as we're in the trust tree. We're in the trust tree here.
FCC.
Yes. Trust tree.
Don't worry. I'm the only one that's going to get the letter yet.
Hey, no. We're going to do a Quimby thing. Richard Mountain.
Yeah, I can't be anything worse than Jahari Evans the whole time. I couldn't imagine that.
I think people can figure it out.
Second pick.
All right, next pick. You know what? I hope you don't have this one, too, because I need to be making some ground. But I'm going with your boy today. Cardinals at Cubs. It's Wainwright. You did, right?
I did.
See, we got to talk ahead of time. Cards minus 140.
We normally do.
140. And, I went with the Cards and Wainwright. So I'll tell you what. Let's do this, all right? You get one of those picks, I get one of those picks, and the other guy has to take the opposite. Which one do you want? I'll give you first crack.
All right, I'm definitely going with the Cardinals.
All right, so you got the Cardinals. I'm taking the Cubs as an underdog at now, and I also get the Red Sox as the underdog. Okay, that's good. That works.
I think you guys with your picks should start talking about the money as well. Like, if you're betting a money line and you win and it's a dog, that should go against, you know, how much are you actually losing on the VIG?
We have a point system. So depending on how big of an underdog or how much of a favorite, that's how many points you get. Yeah, so we have a balanced, much better than last season.
Yes, okay. Just a little bit.
All right, so final pick.
All right, final pick. Go ahead.
Braves at Colorado. All right, it's Morton and Feltner. 11.5. Are you serious?
I took the under.
So did I. I told you I did my research this week. I'm locked in with you.
Yeah, and I did shotgun picks.
This is 60 seconds. And there you go. All right. Well, we're going to have to run with that one.
All right, I'll take the over.
You're going to take the over?
I'll take the over. You take the under.
All right, there we go.
We've never done this before.
No.
Never done this before.
That's a first. That's a first.
So I'm going to go over. Chad's probably...
Wait, hold on. You guys both said under on what game?
Braves, Colorado.
He's taking the over.
Okay, I'm taking the over.
All right, and congratulations to Keenan Harmon for winning the tickets
for
Independence Day. I'll make sure I email those over to you later. Can you believe it?
Believe it, two things each that we both found interesting from this past week around the league. Murph, give me your first one.
All right, so this happened on Friday night. Six different Major League Baseball teams hit at least five home runs in a game. The Diamondbacks, Cardinals, Giants, Nationals, Twins, and the Phillies here at Citizens Bank Park. There had never been in the history of baseball more than four teams hit five home runs in a particular day. And then it happens with six. Again, that's incredible. That's never happened before. It happened on Friday.
I noticed it's about time they started juicing the balls again.
Yeah, they switched the balls out for sure.
It is kind of fun, right?
All right, so I got this one from the Yankees here. Garrett Cole, he pitched perfectly into the seventh inning the other night. James Tyone, he lost his bid in the eighth for a perfect game. The Yankees are the first team with consecutive perfect game bids of six innings or more since at least 1961, according to Elias Sports.
Their starting pitching has been just lights out, outstanding over the last couple of weeks. They had a good week for sure. All right, how about this one? And this is a tip the cap to your boy again, Adam Wainwright. Most common regular season starting batteries since 1900 in Major League Baseball. Mickey Lolich and Bill Freehan connected 324 times, right? Warren Spahn and Del Crandall, 316 times. And Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina now, 314 times. They're going to move into second place all time.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. That's some longevity in St. Louis and a lot of excellence out there in St. Louis
And
as well.
To think he started out his rookie year, he was a closer for that Cardinals team that won the World Series in 2006. Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. Watching Rafael Nadal win the French Open,
Congrats.
The winner always gets this excellent trophy, and the second place finisher gets an appetizer.
You get the tray, yeah. Yeah, the tray, not so great, right?
Yeah, I mean, cheese and crackers.
Although, I'm a charcuterie kind of guy, so, you know, you throw that on there.
And cheese, crackers, and pepperoni.
Yeah. I should go win a French Open or come in second.
Hey, man, you want to come to my house and bring some appetizers? You loser.
This one, courtesy of Sarah Langs, and I saw you
had mine as well. Yeah.
I was a little worried when I saw that pop up on your phone. I was like, do we have the same? Can you believe it? No, we do not. All time at Coors Field, the other night was the second time ever that they had gone scoreless through nine innings.
Yeah.
The other night versus Atlanta, and then September 14th, 2008, against the Dodgers. All time. And then they wound up winning in the 10th inning in that 2008 game off of a Troy Tulowitzki walk-off single, which is funny to me because Troy Tulowitzki was batting seventh in that starting lineup.
Okay, yeah.
These teams, Matt Kemp, Manny Ramirez, James Loney, you had Matt Halliday, Clint Barmas, Dexter Fowler, Brad Hopp, good players.
How did they not score runs?
0-0 through 9?
Baseball's a weird game.
It definitely is. But you know what isn't weird? It's the fact that the Phillies are looking to sweep today. The Los Angeles Angels, who have lost 10 in a row, today will make 11 losses in a row for them. Day off on Monday. We have three in Milwaukee, and then we come back home for a three-game set. Make sure you guys get down to the ballpark on Friday night, too. It's Bryce Harper bobblehead night.
Oh, okay.
So that's a big night at the ballpark. no crap. But that light at the end of the tunnel, starting with the Diamondbacks are in that race, too. But, I mean, compared to the teams that we've been playing over the last month, that light at the end of the tunnel that we've been talking about appears to be reaching closer and closer. These three against the Brewers this week is going to be tough, though.
Yeah, the Brewers are obviously a very good team. That's a tough place to play in Milwaukee. They got great crowds out there. But again, the Phils are swinging the bats better. So, and the pitching has been good. The bullpen has been suspect.
Their numbers at home.
But the starting pitching has been really good. So, you know, look, Phils have a chance in every game they play. They're a talented team, and they need to play well in Milwaukee. They've been playing better on the road. They've been scoring a lot of runs on the road. So I think you just need to see them do that. You know, win today, kick a team while they're down, 10 straight, as you mentioned. You think about it. They were 27-17 were the Angels a week and a half ago.
We both have them winning the division.
27-27. They're headed in the wrong direction. Their superstars are struggling right now. But
You're going the wrong way.
Thank you.
What a jerk. How does he know where we're going?
How does he know where we're going? Great line. But you got to step on their necks, right? When they're down, that's what good teams do. Hopefully, Kyle Gibson and the Phils can get that done today.
Absolutely. And that wraps up this edition of Bud Light Baseball Brunch here on 102.5 Fox Sports The Gambler. Thanks to our friends here at Xfinity Live. Make sure you guys come on down next Sunday and hang out with us again for another edition of Bud Light Baseball Brunch. For those of us here on the show, for Greg Murphy, John Jansen, Kyle Nunnemaker back in studio, Craig Quimby-Chinosky, thank you so much for stopping by. I'm Chris Sack, and like a 3-1 pitch to Ryan Howard, we are out of here, baby. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Let's go, Phils. Break out those brooms.